Amen. Whew, that was a great video. So glad we got to watch that together. And I'm excited to be at church today. Are you? Come on, man. Got a little somber after Perry's announcement. I don't know what that means, but it was like silent. I felt really bad for Val, but she did an awesome job doing those announcements coming up after. Today, I want to talk to you about preparing. Come on, preparing. Now, the word prepare means to make something ready for use, okay? To make something ready for use. Now, you might be asking yourself, why are we talking about getting prepared? Is this another sermon about how to stock my doomsday bunker? It is not. Which there might be some disappointed people now. Sorry, that's not what I'm talking about today. We're not talking about prepping, but we are talking about being prepared. And for me, I want to be useful. So when I'm thinking about preparation is getting something ready for use, I want to be used. I want to be a part of what is good about being on earth. I want God to use me to intersect in somebody else's life, use me to make a difference here in our valley, here at this church. I want that. However, when I say that, some of you may have maybe just a little bit gone like, ooh, I've been used by a church before and it didn't feel good. I'm glad you think that's funny because I admit that. Some people, they do struggle with that thought. They've been a name on a spreadsheet, that's the only way they really felt like they connected with the church, that somebody just wanted them to fill this spot for them, and that was it. They didn't feel like a member of the body of Christ. They didn't feel like they were a loved part of a family, right? So when I'm talking about being used, I want to make this clear. You may have heard me talk about children's ministry before. There may have been a time where I'd said, hey, we'd love to get you involved in what we're doing. We'd love to have you come join the team. Guys, at least here at Bethel Church, I hope this is true, we do not need you to keep our program running. We haven't created a system that we just need to make sure is well-oiled and running, and so we just need to plug in people. If they get chewed up and spit out, it doesn't matter. We'll plug somebody else in. That's not what we're doing. So you're laughing because you're like, oh, that would be ridiculous. Who would ever have that experience at a church? Or on a church staff. We do have opportunities for you to grow. We have opportunities for you to use your giftings. Now, you may not remember the exact words I use, but I do try to be very careful. When I'm talking children's ministry, I want you to join our team. I want you to become a part of our community because we got some awesome stuff going on downstairs. I'm not going to talk anymore about kids or I'm going to cry. I'm passionate about seeing people know their worth and value in Christ. I'm passionate about the people coming to Bethel Church or coming who live in our valley, who live in our world, know that there's a God out there who loves them and that there is hope for their life because God has a purpose and a plan for them despite where they find themselves in that moment. That is why I want to be useful. That's why I want to be prepared to be used by God. So I know that might not be the best way to think about it for some of you. That may be hard, but go with me today, because you know what? Even if you have been used and abused in the past, God still has a plan for your life, and he has a purpose for where you're at right now. Now, the Bible talks a lot about preparation. We can think of in Proverbs, it talks about this little ant, these adorable little guys that work all summer, and then when the winter comes, what do they have? They have food, right? Because they weren't lazy. Peter says to the church, the Christian should always be prepared to give a defense of their faith. I think of John the Baptist. preparing, as he talks of words from Isaiah, to prepare the way for the Lord, right? Now, sometimes in Scripture, an idea is mentioned multiple times. This is just me thinking. I kind of think that's because God knew we weren't going to get it right away. And he needed to repeat it many times. The word prepare, or to be ready, is used more than 150 times in the Old Testament and New Testament. It's used over and over again. Even in today's talk about this new pastor, Val giving the announcements, the word prepare was thrown out a couple of times there. I was noticing because I knew I was going to be speaking on that. It's thrown out a lot. There's a lot of prep that we get to do in our lives. And let me just go through this so you get a picture here. How many of you guys remember this thing called Christmas? Happens every year on December 25th. I don't know why, for me, I'm always surprised by that when I go, oh, Christmas is a week away. Oh, no. Amazon can't help me anymore. I have to go to the store. Christmas is there. I am running a half marathon in 1 month. That's right. Avenue of the Giants. It's going to be a great race out in Northern California. I was thinking I would have been better prepared 6 months ago when I signed up for that race, but I have been getting prepared for that. I don't want to die, which could happen out there. I don't know if this relates to you, but for me as an introvert, making a phone call, I have to do some mental preparation to dial that number and talk to somebody because it drains me, right? How about fitting into your bathing suit this summer? It's going to take preparation. A high school reunion, perhaps. One of those things you wish you might have gotten more serious about earlier. Being a parent. Now, God did give us 10 months to prepare for that, as the body works for the most part. I have to tell you, I did get a text last night from a young adult in our church. And I added this line into the sermon because he told me that he got a lady pregnant. A serious talk, right? Now me, being totally not gullible and not realizing at all that it happened to be April 1st, I was responding back. I was planning counseling appointments. I was like, okay, man, we are going to help you. And then he waits until about 11 o'clock at night after I had been thinking about it all day and says, oh, yeah, no, I was totally kidding, Pastor Ben. I won't say his name because he might enjoy that, and I'm still a little upset. How about walking through sickness with someone you love? Got to be prepared for that. That's a hard thing to do, especially if that sickness is prolonged and scary. What about what's next? What does God have next for you? Are you prepared for that? There's kind of two types of being prepared, right? We can be prepared for what is known. Christmas. We know. Some people may have already started thinking about it. We know it's coming. But we also need to be prepared for the unknown. Kind of having a baby could be both, right? You know the baby's coming. You know you need to get prepared, but you really have no idea what that child's going to be like as a teenager, what that child's going to be like. I have a 12-year-old right now, so it's been on my mind, these teenagers. What that child's going to be like as an infant, if they'll be a good sleeper, if they'll be a good eater, right? There's unknown there. Certainly when we think about what do you have next for me, God? You don't know that, but you can prepare. And I want to talk a little more about that today. Classic movie, Rocky. I don't know why, but we started watching those over the last 10 days in my house, and my kids have made it through the first three, and I was shocked. The first one has so much dialogue, but they were actually way into it. Each of these Rocky movies, there's a moment where his training kind of switches. And then he starts to get focused, right? Because he realizes it's not just eating, what does he eat, like 6 raw eggs in that first movie, and he drinks them. If you haven't seen Rocky, oh man, it is intense. But there is this moment where his training becomes more focused, and he realizes it's not just the fight itself. There's an undercurrent to his life that he needs to be prepared for to enter that fight, especially with his style of getting his butt kicked until the guy gets tired at the end. It's just crazy, right? Being ready for people is an unknown. But man, when you're ready, when you are spiritually ready, and I kind of think I was, that young adult texted me, I was ready. I was like, okay, we're gonna start some counseling. I need to talk. Let's do coffee. You know, I was prepared for him to have a baby. Thank goodness he was not prepared for that, and that was not happening. But you just never know, right? You never know what God's going to bring into your life. And so today is a special day in the church. It starts a week in the church calendar called Holy Week or Passion Week. And it is this last week leading up to the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Now, the crazy thing is, if you go to Luke 18, and in all 4 of the Gospels, there's a moment where Jesus recognizes this. Before Palm Sunday, before we even get to him entering Jerusalem, he talks to his disciples. This is from Luke 18, 31 and 34, or through 34, and it says this. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Jesus knew the way that week was going to end. He knew how hard it would be. We don't always get that, right? We don't always get that advantage from God to know what's going to happen before it does. Jesus enters Jerusalem. There's people shouting, cheering him on. Hosanna, Hosanna. They're saying to him, praise God, our King has come. They're waving palm branches, which is why we call it Palm Sunday. They're putting their jackets on the ground for him to walk on, which somebody who knows more about the Bible can explain that to you, because I have no idea why they did that. Jesus enters in. He goes into the temple of God and starts kicking butt. Does anyone remember this story? He's flipping over tables. He's making a whip and like whipping people out of there and saying, hey, you guys have made the house of God into a den of thieves, and how bad of you. He teaches. He heals the sick. And then on Thursday, he gets this last meal with his disciples, where we see the first communion, where God's able to talk about what's going to happen, to unveil the spiritual truth about what he's doing. And he takes bread and he gives it to his disciples and said, this is my body. It's going to be broken for you. He gives them the cup. They drink. He says, this is the blood of a new covenant, which I am making for you, because my blood is going to be poured out. That when I die on that cross on Friday, your sins will be forgiven, because I have paid the punishment for your sins. I have taken that price. You are now in God's eyes righteous because of my blood. He then goes and washes his disciples' feet, which if we were in kids' church, we could describe how gross that would have been, but we'll brush over that for now. Let's just say it was really gross. They didn't have cars back then. Their feet would have been so disgusting. But he washes their feet, and they're all like, don't wash my feet, Jesus, you're Jesus. And he's like, no, I'm Jesus. I need to wash your feet. And then he goes in the garden. Judas is about to betray him, and he prays. And he prays some awesome things. This was a pattern in Jesus' life. He would find moments where he would go off and he would pray. Sometimes alone, sometimes he'd bring disciples with him. But it was this anchor to his life, this pattern you saw over and over again, that he would leave the ministry and he would spend time with his Father. He would spend time with God. How many of you know if Jesus needed to do that, we need to do that? Yeah. I want to pick up, though, because there's a pretty incredible prayer. And Jesus prays for his disciples. He prays that God would be glorified through everything that was about to happen to him. And then there's this unbelievable prayer, and I'm going to read from John 17, verse 20, where he actually prays for you, which is so weird. It's like you're breaking that fourth wall moment. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone, not just for his own disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." It's a pretty awesome prayer, right? Jesus, at this point, is at his last moments. He already told him he was going to be arrested. He already told his disciples 5 days earlier that he was going to be killed. And he knows that this is the last moment that he gets to have as a free man. What did he do? He spent that time in prayer. He spent that time away from his disciples in different tiers, spending time with God. What does preparation for the spiritual life look like? It's spending time with God. It starts and it ends with spending time with God. That is a very spiritual answer, which I understand some of you are running through your minds, thinking of it more like, okay, causation, if I spend X amount of time with God, do I get X amount of awesome things in my life? This is not a transactional relationship. It's a relational causation that you cannot stay the same when you spend time in God's presence. That you could never prepare for the unknown in your life. But God knows everything. And the time that you spend with him is the only way that you can prepare for that. Now, certainly, if you need to pay your taxes, Lord, I hope you've been preparing for that for a while, and this is not going to be a bummer month for you in April. The things we know about, I do believe God expects us to try to take some of those things on. But he never meant for you to take on the unknown without spending time with him. If you read through the Gospels, you will see Jesus time and again takes this vital step of spending time with God. I love the thought of after Jesus' crucifixion, after he raises from the dead, the disciples are in this upper room. It is a famous day in the church also. It's called Pentecost Sunday. Do you know what the disciples were doing in that room? They were sitting and they were waiting. Every spiritual breakthrough that'll happen in your life is going to happen by you waiting for the Lord. It is in a posture of sitting that you will see God move. And that is super hard for type A's. And I'm very sorry about that. Because you want to earn something. You want to make this right yourself. Luckily, there's so much known that we could be prepping for. So there's a lot for you to do. But your miracle, the thing that you're really waiting for, it's going to come from spending time with God. Not as a transaction. Not as a you do this and that will happen. But as a God, you either need to change my heart from me spending my time with you in your presence, or God, you need to do this thing. And when we spend time with God, we see incredible, incredible things happen. This is what makes preparation so important. Someone is going someone is going to be affected by the amount you prepare for that moment. There's going to come a time in the future where you come across a person and your response to them is going to come out of the preparation you've been doing, right? It's going to come out of what we would say is an overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life. That you've been working on it. You've been preparing for this moment. You didn't know it was going to happen, but when it did, you were ready. You were ready to go. I want to invite the worship team to come up. But before we do that, I mean, as they come up, before I wrap up, I'm not going to pull a Barry Dale and keep saying this is my last point. There are a lot of ways and reasons for us to not prep. Maybe you're busy, and the thought of prepping for an unknown thing gets trumped by all the known things that you want to prep for. Maybe you're worried, and that fear of the known is getting in the way of you spending time with God. Maybe there's pain involved, and there is a hurt in your life that is keeping you from opening up fully to God and saying, God, I want to know you more. I want to spend time with you. I want to be changed by you. What a better way to spend the next 10 minutes than to start to unpack that with God. He's here today, right now, church. Amen? He's with you online, if you're joining us online. And you can make the most of the next couple of minutes by simply saying this prayer, God, change my heart. I've been distracted by you or from you. I've been too busy. I've been too worried. There have been so many reasons I've lost my focus. Help me, Lord. Help me to know you. I want to be changed by your presence. I want to be in your presence, Lord. I haven't felt you in a while. Speak to me today. Church, we're going to have a new pastor eventually. Maybe this guy coming in 2 weeks, it may be somebody else, but there will be a new pastor at Bethel Church. That's a known thing. Are you preparing for that? Are you prepared for the things you don't know about that new person? Is your spirit going to be in tune with God's spirit? Because, man, I don't want to have a hard heart against what God is going to do. And I want to be ready to serve whoever comes into this church to be that next person. And I don't want myself to get in the way of that. I'm going to be able to change my heart by spending time with God. Did you know Easter is 1 week away? We know that. Are you prepared? Easter is one of those crazy times where people actually want to come to church. Non-Christians are willing to come. There are a bunch of cards out there. Is there anyone that you can invite to Easter Sunday next week? Now, hear me clearly. I am not saying that I want Bethel Church to have a bigger service than the church next door, and that I want your person to come so we can count them, and then we got all these people coming and I'm all pumped. That is not why I'm a pastor. And that is not why we do Easter here at Bethel Church anyway. I want you to invite your friend because they need Jesus. Because they need to find a place where people will love them. And then they could have a moment that would change their life forever. I'm looking at a man who came to Easter. I don't know why I'm tearing up talking about Sean Fairbairn of all people, but who gave his life to Jesus at Easter Sunday. There it goes. And you had to have a lot of faith to invite Sean Fairbairn to a church, let me tell you. But the truth is, God's going to move. And I would hate to see someone you love, someone you care about, miss that opportunity. So pray about that. We're going to sing another song. I want to pray for us as we close. I want to pray for you. Would you pray with me? Let's stand together. Sorry, I said that really slurred. Let us stand together as we pray. And if you're willing to put your palms out, I would love to pray for you. Lord, I pray for our church. God, I pray for those who are hurt, that you would meet them today. That you would meet them today and they wouldn't be able to leave this place without knowing how much you love them and how much you care for them. God, I pray for those who have a Jericho before them, who have a mountain that they're going to need to climb in the next so many months or weeks or whatever. Even though they may not know it, or even if they do know it and they're walking through it now, God, I pray you would meet them and that they would then feel your strength, that you would be preparing them. God, that they would feel your presence and that you would be whispering to them how much you love them and how you are not surprised by anything. God, we lift up this Easter Sunday to you. We want to see you move in our lives. We want to see you move in our neighbors' lives and in anyone else who comes to church, because we know, God, a moment with you can change somebody's life forever. We want to see you move, Jesus. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.